Green the Ferry on 3CR with Zane and Jacob, and on the line this morning we've got Richard Tanter, the chair of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN. Welcome, Richard.
Good to be with you.
Yeah. So, Richard, tell us about, maybe we can start off by telling us about, because reading over this mini release, about the fact that 50 faith-based organisations have called for the Australian government to support and participate in next week's UN talks on Australia to ban nuclear weapons.
Well, that's right. Well, as we've said, next week, for the first time ever, the United Nations is having a meeting of the General Assembly to begin to negotiate a ban on nuclear weapons in all respects. That's never happened before. And I think the reason why the very large number of faith-based organisations in the country have decided to issue an appeal to the Australian government to participate is because of the real sense of threat and the real sense that this is an historic opportunity not to be missed, and that Australia is really very isolated in its position. And I think that's dismayed many, many people.
And so what can you tell, what can you, just so for listeners' information, what is kind of like, what do you think are kind of the reasons that Australia is, you know, boycotting these talks?
Well, it says it's because it has a preference for what it calls a progressive approach, which basically is doing what we've been doing for the last 70 years and not getting very far. The Australian government says we want to progress slowly and surely and not destabilise global security. So it says the United States and Russia are leaders in disarmament and we should wait for them to make the big steps. There's a problem with that, pretty clearly. There is no disarmament activity going on. The United Nations Committee on Disarmament, which works by consensus, has been deadlocked for many, many years and nothing is happening. And clearly neither the United States under President Trump or Russia under President Putin are in a mood to negotiate anything. So the real reason is that, clearly that reason is not a very sound one. The real reason we know is the United States has been pressuring all its allies for the last year and a half to either vote against the various motions that led up to these negotiations in the United Nations or to not attend. We think that in the Australian case, as is very common with Australia and the United States, they didn't have to press very hard, and I actually suspect we volunteered. But in the case of NATO, for example, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization countries, they really had to press quite hard, and they issued a very stern injunction in October to NATO countries to not support any motion at the United Nations and not to participate when that motion succeeded. In Japan, we know from the Japanese government has been quite clear that it is deeply conflicted about this. We know that Prime Minister Abe, a very right-wing Prime Minister, obviously would want to support the United States. But his foreign minister, Mr. Kishida, who happens to come from the prefecture of Hiroshima, did want Japan to participate. And there was a report in Japanese newspapers last week making it very clear that the United States had been literally heavying the cabinet and Foreign Minister Ishida. Very direct pressure. So Australia probably volunteered to go along with the United States because it almost always does, but there may also have been some pressure there as well.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the nuclear non-proliferation
Non-proliferation?
Treaty. Yeah, non-proliferation treaty.
Yeah. Well, the non-proliferation treaty was signed back in 1968. Australia is a signatory. Almost all countries in the world are signatories to it. North Korea was a signatory, but it withdrew, as is its legal right to do under a clause in that treaty which says, you know, if you feel a sense of emergency, you can leave. India, Pakistan and Israel did not sign. And all four of those countries, of course, have got nuclear weapons. The Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is really a big thing. It has three parts to it. It says all parties will negotiate in good faith towards nuclear disarmament. Now, it's arguable that the five countries that recognise as nuclear powers under that treaty, United States, Russia, Britain, France, China, that they have not done so. Secondly, the treaty says nobody involved will transfer nuclear arms to one country to another. And thirdly, it gives all countries or signatories an inalienable right to nuclear power. The big problem with the NPT is while it really has been very successful in limiting proliferation of nuclear weapons in most respects, is like lots of United Nations agencies, it's underfunded and subject to, if you like, the pressures of the big states within it. And so it doesn't have a great budget for verification, for arms inspections, but it's doing a lot better than it used to in that regard, particularly after the denuclearising of Iraq before the invasion. So the UN, the NPT is a good treaty, but it doesn't affect do the effective thing, which is force the nuclear armed states to give up their nuclear weapons. Mm. And that's the idea behind the movement for a global ban treaty. I think nobody involved in that treaty is under any illusions that the nuclear states are going to give up their weapons immediately on the signing of a treaty. But the idea is very clearly that the non-nuclear weapon states of the world, the great majority of the states in the world, have had enough, and they want to make clear that nuclear weapons are illegitimate, unlawful, and massively unjust to the rest of the world. In other words, to stigmatise the possession of nuclear weapons. And Australia, as a loyal ally of the United States, seems to be unwilling to support anything like that.
Hmm. Zane, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering about the uranium trade. Like, obviously, Australia is a major uranium exporter. In theory, we're not supposed to export it in a way that allows it to go into weapons. In practice, we export it to India, who, as you've just mentioned, are not part of the non-proliferation treaty. Do you think that the commercial imperative for Australia to keep exporting uranium is potentially also a factor in the Australian government's position of wanting to not take part in these talks?
Yeah, that's a good question. We export to, of course, China. We export to South Korea. We export to Japan. And clearly there is some money to be made in that, and that's always a factor in our kind of economy. On the other hand, it's very clear that the export of uranium is principally for nuclear power, and nuclear power has a very limited future, I think. The days when everybody thought that there was going to be a nuclear renaissance are really, they were not very bright before Fukushima, the disaster in Japan, and they're much less bright now. Uranium companies are not, or the uranium parts of the big mining companies are not making a lot of money, and there's very little prospect that that's going to change. Clearly, the future of energy in the world is around renewables, not nuclear power. So I think I can understand why one would want to think about that that motivation, but I actually think it's not on.
Yeah, right. So it's much more about the U.S.
It is about military. That's right. I think the Australian government in these circumstances is still thinking about itself as a loyal ally to the United States. What do we have to do to maintain our credibility, our credit with the Americans? We'll go along with this as we've gone along with their request to go to war in Afghanistan, Iraq and Syria.
Hmm. All right. And are there any protests? Are there petitions people can sign? How can people...
I think one of the most useful things to do is to look at the website of ICAN, that's the International Campaign for the Abolition of Nuclear Weapons, which has got both access to things you can do. We certainly want people to write to the government about this. It is not. It is possible for the Australian government to change its mind, to see that it's possible. I think it's really important also for people to write to the Labor Party, which is not clear on the issue. There have been good statements made. Labor Party platform is clear that Australia should participate and should support a ban like this. And, of course, we know that sometimes there's a bit of a slip between Labor policy when they're out of office and what they do when they get into Canberra. So pressure on the Labor Party is important. But the ICANN website, ICANNW.org, has lots of resources. It has a blog, a really interesting blog, saying what's happening day to day at the moment. And there's also another terrific organisation, Reaching Critical Will, which is an offshoot of the Women's League, International League for Peace and Freedom, 100 years old this year. Hmm. And they have very, very good information. Both ICANN and Reaching Critical Will are partners of the states proposing this initiative at the United Nations, and so there's a lot of information there. Just one last thing for your readers, for your listeners, I think is really important to understand. Hmm. Australia is really isolated on this. Every country in the South Pacific, from the Marshall Islands, where, of course, there were many, many American nuclear tests, all the way through Papua New Guinea, Fiji, Kiribati, New Zealand, all the South Pacific countries are there and are supporting this motion. And maybe more importantly for Australians still, every Southeast Asian country, every member of ASEAN is very clearly participating and supporting this proposal at the United Nations. Malaysia is a co-sponsor. The Indonesians are very firm about this. We stick out like a sore thumb. And I really think that's something that we need to press our government about, to say this is a very, very bad politics, apart from being on the wrong side of history.
Hmm. Indeed. All right. Well, keep up the good work. And thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Good on you. Happy to be with you. See
Cheers. Richard Tanter there, the chair of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons in Australia, which is an international organisation, as the name suggests. And, keep an eye out, because that first ever UN summit on outlawing nuclear weapons will be beginning on the 27th of March. Yep.